The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
We turn our attention to the United States of America, where their president, Donald Trump, has gone on Twitter and has been quite active in the last couple of hours. He's tweeted everything from the Kentucky Derby, where he believes the best horse did not win. He's also announced that Mark Morgan, the former Obama Border Patrol chief, will lead the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency to uphold Trump's immigration policy. He even reversed the previous decision that Special Counsel Robert Mueller should testify before Congress. He wondered where the Democrats were looking for a redo, as they found no collusion between Russia and Trump associates during the 2016 presidential campaign.
But of course, the big one will be dominating the headlines for the days to come is that President Trump says that tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods will go up to 25% on Friday, despite repeated claims by his administration in recent weeks that trade talks with Beijing are going well.
So the higher tariff threat is definitely going to ramp up pressure on China to finalize a trade deal this week. Trump feels it's going too slowly. And we know that on Wednesday, we've got China's Premier Liu He scheduled to arrive in Washington. And in the lead up to this, it's been billed as potentially these final rounds of U.S. trade talks. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were expecting some good news by the end of the week.
Yeah, and a good photo op for them to sign off on something.
For sure, for sure. Let's check in with a good friend of ours to get more context to all of this. On the line to share more is Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh. Nirmal, good morning as always. Thank you for helping us out. So we've got indications from both Washington and Beijing that they're coming closer to a trade deal. Trump's now said that tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods will increase 25% on Friday. Why has he decided to use such a tactic at this time?
Good morning. Well, President Trump feels he is on a roll. The economy is doing very well. The Mueller report has at least thus far not nailed him the way the opposition wanted and expected it to. So this is a hard ball in the direction of the Chinese as they bring their delegation of 100 people, apparently, to D.C. this week. It could also be meant to counter reports that the administration was willing to settle for a deal which may be weak on movement on the deeper issues, intellectual property rights, access to China's markets, tech transfer, and so forth. These issues which would require China to make pretty significant adjustments in the way it does things. You will remember one major sticking point as well was that the U.S. would not reduce tariffs until China has demonstrated that it is implementing its commitments. So this threat really is a hard ball at the top of talks this week and would certainly dampen expectations.
Well, Nirmal, China is facing criticism over its detention of 1 million ethnic Uyghurs in internment camps in Xinjiang. And now that there are reports that the Trump administration is shelving sanctions over China's treatment of these Uyghur people as Beijing and Washington come closer to a trade deal, what is the reaction to this news that the U.S. could turn a blind eye to China's human rights issues?
On the human rights issues, specifically the Uyghurs, there is some criticism here in the U.S. that the administration is not doing enough on that and not doing enough on human rights in general around the world. There are China hawks here who are saying treatment of Uyghurs is one of a list of egregious practices that the United States should raise. That is, it should go beyond the trade and investment issues. Now, the Uyghur situation does figure on U.S. officials' talking points. But yes, the top leadership is relatively restrained on this. This is realpolitik, if you will, or at least that is how hard-boiled diplomats might put it. If it is not in the national interest of the U.S. or what is deemed to be in the national interest of the U.S., they will not raise it or they will not elevate it. This does not mean they will not in the future. A lot depends on whether there is a trade deal, the nature of that deal, and how that influences the rest of the broader pushback against China.
Straight time to U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh on the line with us all the way from Washington, helping us to contextualize all the updates from the United States. Over the weekend, North Korea confirmed via state media that leader Kim Jong-un oversaw a missile drill testing various missile components. Now, this, of course, the first test since President Trump and Kim Jong-un's summit in Singapore, and then there was the failed one in Hanoi. Nirmal, does this undermine Trump's diplomatic achievement with North Korea?
Yes, it does, though, of course, it is a matter of perception. Now, is this normal in complex negotiations involving national security and nuclear missiles and bad history? Yes, it is. And to his political base at home and even to a wider audience, President Trump can still say, I made a breakthrough, I acted in good faith. But is it a setback? Definitely. The problem goes back really to the raised expectations before and after the Singapore summit in June last year. Now, just recently, South Korea had training drills on the US-supplied anti-missile system, which did not go down well in North Korea, so this is also a tit-for-tat. So yes, it's almost back to square one, but as yet, these are not nuclear or ICBM tests. United States Secretary of State Mike Pompeo took pains to point that out over the weekend. He said this was not a violation of what they had agreed on, and he said the US was still willing to go back to the table, and he hoped the tests would not get in the way. Now, most Korea watchers here say Chairman Kim Jong-un is signaling also that he wants to talk with a sort of low-level saber-rattling. And this has happened before. It is a familiar pattern. He ups the ante to increase leverage against the United States. The United States could, in return, put even heavier sanctions on North Korea. South Korea and the United States could resume exercises. We don't know what the next step will be. There is a risk that escalation takes us back to the threat of nuclear war. A resumption of actual dialogue would help reduce that risk, but there is no sign of that yet.
Now, well, the U.S. president said that he spoke with Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday, covering issues, including the so-called Russian hoax. Now, he got annoyed, though, at a reporter who asked if he warned President Putin against meddling in next year's elections in the U.S. Do you think this issue will continue to hang over U.S. politics going into the next election cycle?
The Russia cloud? It has lifted, but not quite dissipated. The timing of the president's phone call with Vladimir Putin didn't help. But to his base, the Mueller report exonerated the president. To the other side, the so-called never-Trumpers, nothing can exonerate the president. So the campaign, as it evolves, is likely to focus more on domestic issues like healthcare and the economy and immigration, and a little less on Russia, but it will never really go away.
Now, my last question to wrap things up. There's a new poll that shows former Vice President Joe Biden up close to 40% above his 2020 Democratic presidential primary challenges. But New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says he plans to announce sometime this month, you know, whether or not he's going to join in the race. So, Nirmal, how do you think this could change the Democratic race for the presidency?
Bill de Blasio in the race? Okay, de Blasio is a star. If he gets in, certainly he would be another heavyweight in a very crowded field. It is difficult to see right now whether this changes the dynamic for Joe Biden and how. It is also very early. The primaries are months away. Certainly de Blasio would make things a bit personal for President Trump since he is governor of New York, and President Trump loves railing at the coastal elites, the Manhattan elites and what have you. It will inject another strong voice into the mix. There is still time, and time is what is needed, really, for a Democratic candidate to show that they can rise to the occasion, and the party should unify behind him or her. Certainly, de Blasio will probably be in the top five candidates.
Nirmal Ghosh, Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief, chatting with us all the way from Washington. Nirmal, thanks, as always, and we look forward to catching up again next week. Bill de Blasio.
Yeah.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, it's already a very crowded Democrat
field.
Very, very crowded. I'm not sure if they can even beat President Trump.
Based on his numbers, based on how the United States is looking on paper.
I mean, the only possible person who can beat Trump in 2020 will be Joe Biden.
Sure.
And the only probably 99% would be Michelle Obama, but of course she's not running.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to see what happens.
Whew, 2020 is going to be exciting.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.